to another episode of Chatterbox with me, Mel Biggs. This month, I have got Pascal Rubens, one half of Belgian supergroup Narragonia. I'm sure you've heard of them, and if you haven't, go and check them out. What are you doing? What are you waiting for? They're one of my all-time favourite bands, and I am absolutely chuffed a bit to have Pascal on. I might have fangirled just a tiny bit, so look out for that. This month, I finally feel I'm able to get my geek on and share with Pascal our mutual affection for teaching and our passion for creating nurturing environments for people to learn in, whatever age that might be. We also get to hear the inside secret sauce making of Narragonia and how it is working with her husband Toon, how it is to be a busy working mum whilst also raising a family, what her own childhood was like being raised in a house of classical music, and a really interesting career twist. I hope you enjoy it. Grab a cup of tea and let's get into it. Pascal Rubens. Hello, Pascal. Welcome to Chatterbox. How are you doing? What's been going on for you lately? Where are you coming from?
Yeah, I'm fine, and I'm a bit happy because I had like the two or three last weeks had a bit less to do, and so I really could enjoy to see a bit more friends, to do some sports, and to be there for the children. So yeah.
But it is busy for you at the moment. You've got all sorts of gigs in the theatre and things coming up and surrounding you. I keep seeing all these amazing pop-ups on Facebook, and and I just think, how do you switch between all of these things? I can't do that. My life doesn't work like that. But I really admire people that can just go, oh, I'm doing this weekend, and then a few days later I do this. But I guess for you now, it's just a fine balance. You know how it all works.
I wouldn't say it's a balance, because it's very busy, and when I look back, I'm thinking, oh, it's crazy, but it's something I like. I like to. I wouldn't say I'm a workaholic, but I like to be busy, and I like to do projects. But even if my life is very irregular, it's not a 9-to-5 job, and it's not the Monday till Friday week and then the weekend free. It's, I wouldn't say the opposite, but it's like, I said to Tone today, it's like we have, for me, it's like my Wednesday is a bit the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm there for the children, and I get, yeah, and the weekend we are quite a lot away. And it's always searching for this balance. And when it's, I don't like it when it's too much, because then I'm not enjoying my life or the moments with the other persons, with the people around me, and I'm not into the moment, but I'm always thinking about, oh, what is coming, and tomorrow, and I don't like it when it's too less. I don't feel good with this. I like to be to be busy, and to something in between.
It's one of those things. I've had moments mainly pre-COVID for me where life was full on, one thing to the next. I was living out of a bag, came home, wash all my clothes, repack, out the next day. And that was life, you know, for me as a, you know, professional musician. And it just was, I never could say no, it felt. But since the pandemic, I've learned how my life can function better for me health-wise. And it's like, oh, I've learned how to say no in polite ways and pick and choose the jobs I want to do. And sometimes life is busy, but it's hard to find the balance, but it's good when we do get there, right? Because like you say, it's difficult to be with people when we're tired.
But I would like to ask you, can you give a little bit to me of what you have? I need what you have to. I really remember this Corona period, except of the fact that it was a very hard times, and especially for certain persons. I think for our family, it was like, whew, a very nice time, because we were together with our children in a period where they had an age of where it was very important to be there, the beginning of the teenage years. And I remember how many times I said to myself, oh, please, please remember this period, that it's so important to take time to sit down, to relax. And I didn't learn from it. I do it sometimes. And when I do it, then I remember. But when you are into this hurry up life, it's like you forget.
I was going to talk to you more about that in terms of being a parent to three beautiful children and obviously raising them whilst also being a really busy musician, making albums and touring and everything. How have you managed to do that? And obviously, it was great to have the pandemic to pause at that time for your children and everything, but how has that balance changed over the years with your creativity and making the music and then touring it and bringing up a family?
Well, I think the first thing is, I think everybody, how do you say this? I feel like around me, everybody is searching for time, and I think it's not only me. It's the thing of the moment we live now, the of the society. So I think that's one thing, and the other thing is, I think doing what I do is the family, the music, the music school, and there are other things. It's very irregular, and so I think it's a bit more difficult because you have to arrange much more because it's not into the normal life, let's say. I think one thing is not to overthink too much the things, just to decide sometimes very quick. I take the example of we organize workshops here, and you came to our
I've
workshop
been to
twice.
two. They're amazing, yes.
Thank you. And I must say, the preparation, the first time, yes, the first time it's a lot of work, and then I try to remember a lot of things, like putting a document on my laptop and just to think, oh yes, this and this has to change. I have to, yeah, each time going more quickly and more easy. I think there are other things I'm not giving time in my life. Some are good, I think, and some are bad. Like for example, I think my social life, it's okay, but I miss it. I really miss it. Like when I'm thinking of when I was 20 or 18, I was all the time with friends, all the time. And of course, you don't have, yeah, the house, the family, and all those things. But I miss this sometimes. But I try to do the maximum I can, and even if it's impossible, I try to do it. For example, if a friend is organizing a party, I try to go and
Yeah.
try to, yeah.
I suppose as your children are now getting older, I mean the youngest now is 15, is that right?
No, he's
Mateus?
13. He will
Oh,
be, yeah.
he looks so much older. Bless him.
But he will be 14. He will be 14 in 2 months. Too
Imagine as
young.
they grow more independent and
Yeah.
obviously not right now, but you're able to have more time to yourself, I would imagine. Is that
Yeah, certainly. There's certainly a difference compared to when they were small. But even now, it's very important to be there, to
Yeah.
listen to them, to discuss about things. And I think also the way we live, our children had to be very independent. I see they are much more they are quite independent, and I think it's a benefit for them. Sorry, it's a
Yeah.
benefit for them, and I hope later they will not tell me, "Mama, you were." But I don't think. I try to do the maximum, and
Absolutely, absolutely. I know it must have been difficult, but they wouldn't have known any different. That was just their, you and Tun were away working, and family came in to help support you. And
it's good you mention it because, of course, it wasn't possible without all the help of family and the parents, our parents, the grandparents, also the other one of the family, but also a lot of friends. And I'm very thankful for them for everything they did.
very important that you have a village around you to help
Yeah, that's
bring
true.
up your family. But they themselves, they've chosen to be part of your music making as well now, with appearances on albums and things, which is fantastic. Do they still want that interest, or is it kind of
Yes,
waning as
it's
they get
going
older?
up and down, and
Yeah.
it's an I think it's a normal way of the age they have now, the
Yeah.
teenagers,
It's not cool
adolescents.
anymore.
Yeah, sometimes it's cool, sometimes it's not. But what I like, it's the three of them, they taste of the pleasure to play, the
Yeah.
pleasure, the happiness it gives to them, and that's I think the most important to feel what gives extra to your life when you play music or even when you listen to music, I think. But we don't have big expectations about this. We just want them to. I'm happy that they know and that they feel that you give something back. You receive something back from playing music.
And they have such a, I mean, not everybody has the opportunity to play on stage with such incredible musicians, you know, so that comfort and that blanket that they've had to kind of explore that for their own self rather than necessarily have all the stress and the worry about how it all works. It's like you could just show them and, you know, kind of take them through that. And so they've had the opportunity and now they can make the choice, and that's, you know, amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And we certainly leave them the choice, and but I think, yeah, it's especially the two youngest one who plays with us, and I see it as two very different persons on stage. Also Matthijs, our youngest one, he likes to be on stage. He likes to speak to people to speak in front of a lot of people, and which is maybe less common than Charlotte, who is like a bit nervous more. And I what I find very normal, and especially at that age, each time she tried to say to herself, and I would like to do it and I will do it. And I help her, I think, for that. And I hope, and I think so, I see it. She's receiving a bit of
confidence.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I mean, that will go so far for her in anything that she wants to do. Not just music, of course, but
yeah,
just
at
that
I
age
hope.
To, like, know who you are and, like, make your choices. That's, I didn't know that. You know, I found that later in life. And so any moment that they have an opportunity for that experience is really, like you say, so important. This wonderful family story of you and Tun, and that your family that you've created, what was your childhood like with music and in your family, and your sister Veronique, obviously
yes.
a beautiful classical pianist, mm-hmm. and you now play together as a duo. How has your upbringing, you know, brought you to this place right now? What was your influence and everything as a child?
Yes, I think music was quite, how do you say this, all around in the house. My parents put a lot of vinyl, how do you call this in English? Before the CDs, you had
vinyl. Yes.
Vinyl.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay.
Of course,
it's coming
vinyl.
Back, yeah, it's coming back, man. There was quite a lot of music in the house, but then it was mostly classic music. And also French music, like Jacques Brel or Barbara, the very famous chansons françaises, French songs. But my parents also, we went a lot to concert with our parents. Yeah, it was much more the classic music. So we are four children, and from the four children, we are three who went to the music school. So my sister, she did piano, and then she went also, she studied further for the piano at the conservatory. My big brother, he started, but he stopped very quickly. And then I have a twin brother, and he studied the cello. And I did the violin at the music school.
Quite the family band as a unit, with the strings and the piano. That was... Did you
yes,
play together?
Yes.
Did you get
yeah,
on?
Yeah, we played
as
together.
Children?
Like, for example, for when there was, remember, we, I think it was for the 20th anniversary of my parents, and then we played a few pieces of classic music together, the three of us, or for Christmas things, and yeah.
Really nice. So you learnt violin classically. Was that from a young age, or when did you start playing
yeah,
violin?
The like in Belgium we say the normal way. It means when you are 9, you start, or at that moment eight, sorry, and now it's also 8. I started the music school. It used to be 1 year of the music theory and then the instrument, and it was the violin.
Yeah.
And my parents, they didn't play music. They my mother, she played a bit of guitar. She sings very well, but no musicians more. How do you say in French? You say mélomane. I don't know if you have the same
Just
word.
they just love listening and kind of the culture of music and the concerts and
We have a lot of, well, no, there are a few very good musicians in the family, but it's more before or,
I was going to ask when you started the accordion. For me, it wasn't until I was 18, so quite late. But how about yourself?
Me too, me too.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the people I've interviewed so far have all been quite late starters, actually.
Really?
Or, by musical standards, normally there's no prodigies at 4 years old playing the accordion, but.
Yeah, it's funny, to see how it's normal too, I think. When I see at a music school, for example, I think I have like 25 students, and there are only four young students minus 18 years. It's like it's the or this type of music also is more. People are getting more interested when they are 80. I mean, when they are a bit older or when
Yeah.
they are,
And it's their choice to come to it, perhaps. If there's no pressure from family, it's like, oh, actually, I want to do this. So,
And you have to discover it also. You have to discover the instrument, but you have to discover the world that is behind the instrument. For me, it's you have this instrument, and behind this instrument, there is a whole world. I didn't know this exists. This evenings with the bal folk or the jam sessions in the pubs, or that each country and each sometimes a region in a country has his own traditional music, and then you have the hurdy-gurdies and all the builders. It's like you are opening a door, and then,
There's this
oh,
whole
okay.
universe behind the door,
Yes, yes,
So
yes.
for you, were you part of the bal folk world, or was it just classical until how did the accordion kind of start for you? How did you know about folk music?
Well, I played classical music, but I think when I the music, well, yes, I listened to classic music. Yes, I remember quite a lot even, but I also listened a lot to, I was completely, I don't know if you know this period, the grunge period, with the Pixies and all these groups, The Cure. You have The Cure in the
Absolutely,
UK, and
yeah.
But I remember my first time I discovered a little bit of this world was at the secondary school in my fifth year, which is the year before you finish to study. I had a very nice teacher of history of art. He put some music on, ancient music, and there was bagpipe in it. And I remember I was like, oh, I felt like, oh, I like this. Oh, what is it? What is it? And I remember afterwards I went to him after the course, and I asked, I said to him, I don't know, but I could really feel like, oh, this is so nice, this music. So I asked him, what is it? And I remember I went to the library, and I took some CDs, and then further on, I remember my sister, she received a kind of program thing for music workshops. Yes. And it was somewhere in the French part of Belgium, and you could follow bandoneon. And I was like, I don't know this instrument. So again, I went to the library, and I discovered Astor Piazzolla, and I was like, oh, this is nice. So I subscribed for this workshop. I think it was the summer I would be 18 years old. And I really remember arriving at this place. There were big stairs, and there was above a woman, a young woman, playing the diatonic accordion. And I went, and when I entered, and when I heard her playing, I was like, oh, this is the instrument. This is what is really touching me, and what I would like to learn. So I couldn't switch, even if the bandoneon was fantastic. It was fantastic, but I could feel my heart was more going to the diatonic accordion. So the next year I could follow diatonic accordion, and then start.
And did they have higher bo like boxes you could rent or loan, or was it?
Yes, but between this year, I informed myself to find out which instrument would I have to buy, or because it's in this diatonic accordion world, you have many different accordions. So I remember, I went to a theater to see a theater, and there was a woman playing the diatonic accordion. So I remember after the piece of theater, I went to the coulisses backstage, and I went to talk to this woman, and I said, "Oh, I would like to learn this type of accordion. Where did you buy it?" So she wrote me the address, and it was in Brussels, a very small shop close to the Brussels South train station. And I remember I entered, and it was a fantastic shop full of accordions. So I bought, and now I have to count. It was, I think it was for 200 euros at that moment. Yeah,
Whoa,
yeah,
that
really.
two row eight
A
bass,
two
or
row, I still have it.
ah, that's
Oh,
lovely.
I had to show it. Oh, it's a pity. I don't
That's
remember where that I put it. It's somewhere in the house, but it was a Delicia.
oh, they are. I don't know how you believe them, but I think they're really bad. They're hard work, but maybe you had a beautiful one, but I in here they're really
It's
hard.
trembling a lot. No,
Yeah.
it was very bad. And the wood, it wasn't paint, no vernis.
Yeah,
So
like
it
no
was really,
veneer. It was
yeah.
like
So
plastic.
I asked a friend of me to make paintings on it. So it was very,
It's incredible, isn't it, how the accordion does just grab us like that. I mean, it's a similar
it's
story for me,
incredible.
how you just hear it and you think, yes. And there's something about the physicality of it as well, that when we start to play it, it just feels so freeing. Like we
Yes.
can, it's such an expressive instrument. And I mean, you're playing, if I can just take a moment to fangirl over it, you know, you've watching
Will.
you and listening to you, particularly over the years since I've known Narragonia, is unlocked a lot of that in my playing, because
Ali.
I could hear something in your playing that wasn't happening in mine, and I thought, I know that it's Kate, I can do this, I just need to find a different level. And it was actually a
Ali.
workshop that I came to in Sheffield. You came over in 2018, the first time I met you, and I sat on your left hand. I was not literally, but I was sat right close to your left hand, and I could just see how you were using your body, your arm, your wrist. And I thought, ah, and it just unlocked it for me to go
Ali,
home and spend a
wow.
lot of time on
Ah,
little
thank you.
tiny details. But it was amazing. So
Thank you,
yeah,
Mel.
thank you for that.
No, thank you. And
But
it's what you are talking about, it's about two things. Is this you receive like it, I don't like esoteric things, but you receive like a kind of energy from playing the instrument. Even And that's what I feel also with the students, that they receive a kind of happiness, and
yeah.
it becomes a kind of passion, and that's really nice. From the other hand, what you are talking about, like in workshops, or the thing you are talking about is the diatonic or accordion, the dynamic, the interpretation. It's a very hard thing to explain, and it's a very hard thing to put words on it. And I think I see students who start very quickly and who, for example, used to play piano before, or chromatic accordion, who pass to the diatonic, and they go very quickly. But the very difficult thing, and the thing that they don't get frustrated about it, but they have like, oh, I miss something. Is this what you are talking about? I think it's also time that brings that to you. It's not from the first moment. It's while playing and playing and playing. What I think also more and more is, and what I try to say, what I say to the students or try to explain is, I think playing starts with listening. Listening to the piece you are going to learn, but also to listen to yourself. I think that's the most important. If you just reproduce, it's not that. While you play, and of course you first have to learn your tune, and it's the more technical thing. And then if you can play the tune, I always say you are halfway. And then it starts. Then it's the way you play it, and for that way of playing, you really need to listen to yourself and to Even why not to record yourself? And it's very a big confrontation, but it's the best way, because when you play, you don't listen to yourself like an external somebody else. And when you record yourself, it's like you can listen to yourself. Oh, am I doing this? Oh, I thought I was good in the tempo, but I'm increasing the tempo. Or
I say this to students when they get to a stage where they're ready for this. Mm-hmm. I tell them this exact thing, because mm-hmm. we all have to go through that stage of being confronted with our own sound, you know, to mm-hmm. kind of to get better. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them initially are like, I can't record myself. It's like, mm-hmm. you kind of have to. So just find a way to make that comfortable. Yeah. And if it's just you listening to it for this very reason, then mm-hmm. it's such a vital step, I think. We've had conversations about teaching before, and if you're happy to, I'd love to just talk to you a bit more about where you started teaching. And it seems to be a really deeply rooted passion that runs alongside your creativity in music. There's a creativity in teaching that I seem to feel a connection to you with, because I have the same, you know, vibe. I'm so excited about teaching people. So where did that start for you, and how has that progressed to where you're at now? Like, what do you do now?
Yes. Well, I didn't study the music. Eh? I studied the music, the violin, at the music academy, at the music school. But in fact, I'm a nurse. I don't know if you know this, Mel.
I did not know that.
Yeah. We call it in Belgium a social and psychiatric nurse. So I did this for 10 years, and I was playing much more music, playing on stage much more. Sometimes a bit of teaching, private lessons at home and those things. And then in Belgium, that was the moment that in Belgium you had a few music academies who started folk departments. Toon, my husband, he started in one of the schools in close to Antwerp. And I think 2 or 3 years after he started this, it was for the bagpipes, they wanted to start for the diatonic accordion. I started there, and I started also in 2 other schools, but I ended up now in 1 school, and still the same school as in the beginning, close to Antwerp. Especially for the music academies, when I look back the way I was teaching 17 years ago, something like that, it's so different because you have a lot of experience, things I did in my eyes wrong. I mean, not wrong, but you learn from each day teaching. I learn, and I like this. I like to progress into this. How can I explain this? How can I transfer this passion? I'm all the time thinking of what is the best way, and I'm always And then there are the workshops, of course, organized here in Belgium or abroad in other countries. Or sometimes we play at festivals, and then they ask, can you come one day before to teach? And I like it. I like it quite a lot to teach.
Sorry to interrupt. Just really quickly wanted to let you know that there's been a massive chunk of this free public podcast edited out, and it's available via the extended episode, which is available exclusively via my Patreon. You can sign up to the Chatterbox tier or the Archangel Plus tier to get access to those extended podcast episodes, plus my guest tutor Melinar tutorials and loads of sheet music posts. The archive content is amazing. So go and check that out. The link's in the description. Now back to the interview. And I met one of your students at the Simone Battasso workshop, and it was amazing to see this young woman who'd been with you, I think she said, since she was 8, so I think she was in her late teens. Oh, I don't
Jessica.
Know what her name was.
But yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And I it was her first workshop, you know, it was her first time doing music outside of your classes. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing there was an improvisation exercise that we did as a group, and she just really owned herself in that moment. And I felt that's something I've still discovering, you know, to kind of really explore, you know. And I just thought, wow, that's, you know, come from, you know, being unlocked, being mentored, being tutored by yourself. And, you know, you must have people that you see for a long period of their life, and they have lessons with you for years. Like, what does that feel like to have such a long-term connection with people?
Yeah, it's very nice. It's very nice because, yeah, it's Sometimes it's also friendship and our and it's no, it's very nice, very nice. And I have a few students who are there for since the beginning. I teach there. There's one student who is since 17 years. She's following worship, and she's not only coming to the music academy, but she's also coming to all the workshop I give. So, yeah, I really like her. I think with the students at the music academy, you have the students who already knows the whole folk work world, who go to workshops, who go to festivals. Then you have the students who discover it through the other students or through me. They discover that there are festivals, that you have the other workshops. And then you have people who say, I'm not interested. No, I just want to learn, and for me it's enough. Yeah, but it's very nice to see this. You're talking now about Jessica. She's very talented, very talented. I have other students who struggle more and who are more going not so quick. But I really like to see it when, even if it's little things, but when they are improving. Oh, and then I can feel a kind of happiness, but I can feel that they are also enjoying, like, yes.
Yeah, I have the exact same. And I think for me, whilst I have passion to perform, it's not what I long for, but I long to unlock that feeling in people because it unlocks something in me as well. There is something very special in that moment with somebody to see that breakthrough. And it could be the simplest thing, like they can change direction between a bass and a chord, you know, which we don't even think about now. But I can remember myself going through that and to see that process in somebody else. I could see it 1,000 times and never get bored because it's always individual and it's always different, but very exciting. But yes, to have the long-term sort of connection with students is really special. I'm also very fortunate to have many students who've been with me from the beginning. And it's lovely to keep seeing their names on the workshop lists. And I do say to them, you can go and see other tutors. You know, I won't be offended, but it's so lovely that they'd still choose me.
yes, that's true. Yeah. No, it's nice. It's nice because there's a movement, there are things happening, and there's... Like, for example, yesterday I organized at the Music Academy a workshop. It was a violin player, a Belgian violin player, Edwin van Vinkendegooyen. He's a fantastic musician. So he is really, in his music, very open-minded. He's not only played traditional music, it's contemporary music and more world music, everything. And he's a philosopher, and his workshop, I really liked it. And so I organized it for the whole folk department. Yesterday we went with my class of accordion players, we went to a concert of him. So we met, we were like 15 of the group. And I thought in myself, I thought, how nice is this, that we are like a group together, and we are all different people, all coming from different places, and we have this in common, this passion for this instrument. Yeah, like you said, we understand each other. Or when a student can improve something, you can feel like, oh yes, I remember this too, too. Yes, this is difficult, but you manage to do it, and that's nice, that's nice.
It must help that you have the background from your psychiatry and your nursing, because that seems to me to be a very nurturing job and a nurturing career to have started out in. But I find music, over the years of me teaching, sometimes students need more of the care side of things rather than the music teaching. And I find that both go hand in hand quite nicely. Have you found that also with certain individuals? Or
maybe it's possible. The students say to me quite often how much patience I have, and maybe that's the thing I have from my job, the patience to wait and to listen and to respect that it takes time sometimes to learn something. And
I think that's one of the things I try to establish early on, is that I've also had that compliment on me many times, which is lovely because it's natural, it's not something I've had to work on. But I find I can be like this as a student myself. If we get frustrated trying to learn something, we expect that our teacher would be frustrated with us for not getting there quick enough. But I know that from a teaching perspective, that's never occurring. It's not what's going on. I'm waiting patiently for them to work it out. I can see that it's not work, it's like, okay, pause, let's go a few steps back, try this way, and you know, make it simpler. And often just by me getting involved and making it simpler, it's the thing that then unlocks it.
to analyze a bit more, I think maybe you recognize this, to analyze, to play much more slower, and just to think, oh, what's happening here? And especially for adults, I think children, they you play something, they play it, and an adult has another kind of thinking. And especially adults who didn't play an instrument when they were a child, they learn differently than the other one. And I need much more to analyze, to see what's happening here. Okay, you have to do this on your left side, and it's after it that your right side is doing this. I think you recognize these things.
Yeah, I think we're saying the same thing. It's lovely to know that you also analyze, and I always felt that we had this connection because we've talked about teaching in the past, and it's always important for teachers to still learn, but also just to kind of have an interest in learning for our own benefit, because that reminds us what it's like. But I think being able to analyse what it is we do as musicians, because that's generally why people want to learn from us, is because of what we do, right?
Yes.
If we're able to kind of go, give me a minute, play. Oh, yes, I'm doing this thing. And then being able to like break that down, because not everyone is able to do that. You know, you have
that's true. You know, and it's interesting for ourselves too, I think, to understand, oh yes, I'm doing this. Okay.
I didn't know that. Yeah. You are very kindly and graciously, I cannot wait. You're doing a melanar for me this evening. As we're recording this, as this goes out, it will be a recording on my Patreon. But this evening, you're going to do a live melanar all about rhythmical accompaniment, which, again, a little moment to fangirl. You are, for me, the queen of rhythmical accompaniment. And it's just so exciting what you... A, get out of the accordion, but also B, add to any situation that you are part of, whether it be the duo with Tune or the quartet or bigger bands, you know, with the 20th anniversary band. There is always, for me, this underlying basket. This, how I kind of visualize it, it's like you hold everything together with what you're able to achieve with the accordion. So if we can learn in an hour how to do anything like that would be amazing. But what is it, and how did you start to work towards that style of playing? You know, what did it become natural, or was it something you heard somewhere else? You know, what was your process?
I think there are several things. I think I remember I discovered like my instrument, like, oh, these chords are there next to each other. Oh, and when I push, oh, then it's the other chord. So I made a kind of pattern of the chords. And I'm not the only one, of course, who discovered this. But I remember I discovered this. And then in the beginning, you play for your own. And then you play with other musicians. And then you need much more to have to make an arrangement, to have a melody, to have a second voice, to have the accompaniment. And then you discover, oh, it's nice to do some accompaniment with the diatonic accordion. So... And then there's a thing, I think, and I regret it a little bit that through Narragonia and also the quartet, I mainly took the role?
Yeah, the role of the accompanist.
Of the accompaniment. And I really like it. And I really like it. And I know I always had this rhythm. I think I can say I'm really, in Flemish we say rythme vast, I'm very... like a metronome. I am very strict in my rhythms, and I really like it to play. It's like a percussion, using your instrument as a percussion. But I regret maybe that I lost a bit of my confidence in playing the melody. And since a few years, I'm getting a bit uncertain if I have to carry, for example, on my own melody, or if melodies are getting too difficult. And I know I have to work on this. And I try much, much as possible to say no, and this time I'm going to play also the melody, or I go to carry it on my own, or just even have a program on my own so that if people ask, oh, would you like to play solo? I will do it,
Yeah.
but I have to work on this, and I need a bit more time or give time for it.
That's really interesting, actually, that you mentioned that. It's something that we recognise as creatives in general. There is the comfort zone that we're all very happy to be in all of the time, but we're also good at the things if we just step a couple of steps out of that zone. It's like we
Yes.
can still do that, but it takes a
Yes.
bit more like mental effort and maybe a bit of pressure on ourselves
Yeah,
to
and
kind of
exercise, a
just
lot of
do it.
exercise, I think.
In fact, I was going through your discography with Narragonia, the biggest body of work that is out there from you. Obviously, Narragonia started 20 years ago or just over now. You had your 20th anniversary, and it seems that together you have created so much music with the duo and the quartet. There is so much new melodies in the world. But yeah, it's interesting. I was going through looking specifically for things that you'd written, but were also playing melody on, and they're all standout pieces, but there are very few in the earlier years, and I'd wondered why, and I, you know, obviously there's
Yeah,
life,
maybe it's
motherhood.
also in the quartet, it's mostly Toon who makes
Yeah.
compositions. And I think if you look at the last years, it was beginning, it was only CDs of the duos, and then came the quartet. So maybe that's a bit the reason. The thing is also that Toon makes a lot, much more tunes than me. He has another way also to make compositions. So that's certainly also reason the time. Is certainly a reason, big reason, because I think to make compositions, it's something I really like. And when we talk about receiving happiness and energy when you play, when you make a composition, it's maybe even more. It's like your little baby, your little egg.
Yeah.
But you need time for it. You need to jump into the music to be like, I know if I compose, it's because I'm like 2 or 3 days completely into the music and into this creative thing and listen to a lot of music, and that's difficult. I don't
Yeah.
find this true 2 or 3 days anymore.
It's difficult, isn't it, when the mind is switching between so many different things, and
That's it. The
I'm the same.
continuation is difficult, and
I mean, sometimes if we're lucky, a melody will appear, but it's quite rare that that will happen. And yeah.
Yeah, for me, a melody comes in 5 minutes, but it doesn't come like hops 5 minutes. It comes like I'm playing and playing. It's something really weird what I'm going to say, but you are getting into kind of not a trance, but a kind of everything is away around you, and you're really getting into this music. And then hop, it's like a new tune is born. Yeah, you need to get into this. Into this moment.
Absolutely. I totally understand where you're coming from. I think it's the pressures of life don't allow us that very often. It seems that Selensky was your album. You know, there are so many pieces on that album that were written by you, whether it be a song or just incredible, beautiful melodies. So was
But
that album particularly strong for you in any particular way? It was the lockdown album. I mean, whether it was
yeah,
just you had
that's
more
it. I had
time.
more. Yeah, that's really totally the It's really that, yeah. I had time. I had time to create. I had time to, yeah.
I mean, if I can, Gozar on that album is the one that stands out. Is there a reference to a jazz kind of standard in that piece, by the way?
No, totally not. But the thing is, I think you are not. When you think you compose, but it's not your. You. It's nearly not your tune.
Yeah.
I think. The compositions come from a mixture of everything you listen to when even when you were a child, or what you listen on the radio, or it's all mixed up. So I think Gozar, it's certainly a mixed up, even maybe just a feeling of something of a tune, you see. And maybe that's an interesting thing to talk about. My way of compositions, of creating or to compose something is always going through the accompaniments. So I always make a kind of pattern of
Yeah.
chords that I really like, and then I play them, and mostly I record them, and then I start to sing on it. So my compositions are mostly by singing, and you will see if you listen to my compositions, they are mostly very bit slow or soft, because of course something in 6/8, a kind of very quick
chapel
verse, it's difficult. So it's mostly that. But the thing is, when I compose, I make something, but it's not the final thing. Then I mostly go to change the rhythm. I put it, for example, I compose something in 4/4, like a Scottish, and then I'm thinking, maybe a 6/8, let's try to do it as a rondo. And then I change the rhythm, the same chords with another rhythm, I sing the melody, and it's getting something else. And then, that's not it, let's try it in a waltz, and then I try to a waltz and to another. And so it really can happen that a tune that is composed in 3/4 ended up in a 7/8 tune or something. From the other hand, something I regret a little bit and I would like to detach from it, it's that all the music I compose is always thinking of a dance. In the beginning, when I composed, it wasn't like this. You know this tune of me, Alio?
Beautiful mazurka, I hear it as, like 3/4.
Yeah, but it wasn't a mazurka. It wasn't composed as a mazurka. But I remember I played it once in, it must be something, it's very old tune, eh? I think it's like 22 years ago. I played it and they were, and you know them, Bruno Le Tron and Didier Laloy? They were there. And I remember Bruno, who said to me, oh, that's a nice mazurka. And I was like, and it was really the beginning of this Balfour, and mazurka? Okay.
Is that what got you into, like, were you already on the Balfolk scene? Were you already playing for dance? Or was it something that you were working towards?
In the beginning, no, I didn't play for dancers. I used to play in a group called Musarena, which was with a cello player. It was more a concert. Then I had another group also I used to play in. It was, it's called Griff, and it's with three bagpipe players, a double bass player, a guitar player, Maarten, our guitar player from the
quartet. Listened to a couple of pieces from their current lineup, and it's this amazing fusion of like traditional and like classical bagpipe music. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
True. So it's more, it's concert too, but in not only in Belgium, but you had like from 95, you had like Balfolk was increasing. So yeah, with Tone, with Narragonia, we went on with this kind of flow that you had also in other countries like Portugal or like everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's the reason, I think, yes.
You mentioned about using your voice as a composition tool, but obviously you do sing in Narragonia, and you have done since, I think, the first album. I picked up on a lovely song, maybe Tourbillon, actually.
That's
was
true.
Way back there.
Yes,
but
yes, that's true.
How long have you been using your voice? Is that something that only came about with Narragonia, or is it kind of...
No, I since I was a child, I was singing a lot. And I remember even when I was 17... I was singing in a kind of rock group. I was singing the Pixies.
Back in your
call
grunge
this woman
era.
Again from the. She was the singer of the Breeders. I remember Kim Deal. But there's one thing, Mel. I was always very nervous to sing on stage. Always, and I didn't sing a lot on stage. Eh? And even with Narragonia, the first 10 years, I nearly didn't sing on stage because I was too nervous, and for me, when I'm nervous on the diatonic accordion, it's okay, but for the singing, it's getting here.
There's no hiding, is there? It's right there.
Yeah. And then I don't know why I made a kind of click. I found a kind of, how do you say, in this strength, a force in myself to say, but why not? If you can do it, enjoy it and just do it. So now I'm singing more, and I would like to sing more, but again, there it's a time, and I would like to compose. I would like to compose more songs.
Did you work with a lyricist on some of the songs on Zelensky? There was a name mentioned, Gabrielle Lenoir. Is that a
yes,
friend or someone that...
Yes. You know Gabrielle? You know him?
No.
No, he's a fiddle player of Chilela.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've heard the
Yeah, you
band.
see, from the north of France. I composed these tunes, but the very difficult part from I think it's for me, it's to find the right words. And especially when you made this melody lines, and then to find the right words that keeps the same melody and that fits into this
Yeah,
melody.
but says the right thing as well. You want to express it in exactly the right way to
Yeah,
fit the
that's
melody,
it.
but fit
That's
the
it.
story. Yeah.
So I asked Gabriel, can you help me? And so he helped me. I think it was for three tunes. Yes, three tunes. And then there's another woman, but that's more for the English and Flemish songs. She helps. It's Reineke, and we know her from the theater, and she makes beautiful texts. And I made myself like four songs. I made the lyrics, but it's taking much time, many time.
Yeah, I find it takes a lot longer to get words right than music. Music comes more naturally.
Me too.
Much rather express myself through the accordion.
Yeah, it's a good thing you say this. I think music is also a kind of language to express yourself,
Hugely.
and the way you play is a reflection of how you are inside. It's without words, but it's yeah.
Absolutely. And I think actually that's been the thing that hit me the most when I got to know you and tune as people. I knew your music years before I met you, but there was this sense of I already knew you, which isn't weird to say that now because we do know each other. It was lovely to discover so many truths about the feeling that I had about who you would be. And then as I got to know you and as I continued to get to know you, there's just this lovely clarification and like I was right. I don't want to say it like that, but you understand. It's like this kind of sense
You
of
are
I
not
knew who you
disappointed.
were.
It's not like, oh, she's boring you.
Oh God, she's awful, but her music's beautiful. It could never be. It could never be. In terms of writing and communicating, we have wonderful Toon van Mierlo on next month. Your partner in crime musically and, romantically and everything else in life. How does it work between the two of you? I hope you don't mind me being nosy, but raising a family, making bands and music together, has there been elements of competitiveness over the years, or are you just mutually really supportive of each other? Or like you give each other space, or how does it work in terms of everything that you both have to go through?
I would like to say to start with, it's incredible to have this in your life, to share this with your partner and with the family and to live this life. But on the other hand, it's not an evidence at all, and it can be very hard to, and it's you need to be, like you said, love partners, but also work partners, and it's not very easy all the time. But of course, if one would be more at the more difficult part than the nice part, of course we would stop. So no, it's totally fine, but it's I think we have a kind of mutual respect to each towards each other, and patience maybe also.
Giving each other grace, that is kind of how we say it here, that kind of
Yes, and be
appreciation, but also respect, space if you need it, because obviously you spend so much time together if you're working together that that must be really important actually that
Yeah,
you
I
both.
think more than people who have their own job. I think even sometimes when we have to take decisions, or when we, for example, for which tune on the new album, or which arrangement will we, or which will be the photo on the album, sometimes you have to see each other as work partners too, otherwise it's getting too personal, and maybe that's the part of respect also, not to be too dominant about all these things.
Thank you for sharing that insight. I think that's I'm always really curious about how it works, how the sauce is made. And I think with Narragonia, there is just, as I said in the beginning, so much out there, a prolific band, both with the quartet and the duo, and it's really interesting to get this insight into how it works behind the scenes. So thank you so much for sharing everything. And of course, about the teaching as well. That's been fascinating for me to make those connections. And it's super important that we talk about it. I think that was one of the really big things for me starting this podcast, was to get to know the artists, mm-hmm. but to get to know how they teach and how their brain works in order to deliver that information. I think that's really something we don't talk about a lot. And I really like that, you know, as a geek, as a nerd of that stuff, you know, I think it's important to share. So thank you.
And I'm sure you recognize, I could feel you recognize things I said, and probably other musicians too, you recognize by bit similar things are, But Mel, thank you too for this. It was a very nice conversation. I really enjoyed it a lot.
You're so welcome. And thank you again for coming on to Patreon this evening, as it will be. Your rhythm, I'm sure it's going to be absolutely brilliant. I myself am very excited to learn about rhythmical accompaniment from you. It will be a very cherished piece of the puzzle of my Patreon. So anybody listening, if you're interested in that tutorial or any other of the tutorials from our guests so far, plus 4 years of my own stuff, you can sign up to Patreon via the link in the description of this podcast. So do check that out. There's a 7-day free trial, so it's absolutely no obligation to stay after that. You can just dip in and out as you like. So thank you so much, Pascal, for adding to that amazing collection that we've got going. And I look forward to seeing you in the flesh very, very soon, hopefully.
Yes, and thank you, Mel, and thank you for all the job you do and all the work you do for other people, really. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. You've sent quite a few students my way over the years, actually, which has been very, very nice. The first time you did it, I was like, she recommended me? It was just like so lovely to have that. Again, that validation of you do well in the world, you know, it's nice to know give that to each other, so that's great. Thank you. And there we have it, Pascal Rubens, everybody. Do you think I contained my fangirling? I don't know, maybe I let it out the box a bit too much. We're very good friends, and we're even better friends now, and I'm so grateful for that whole conversation. And it was wonderful to know how relaxed and at ease Pascal was as well, because she said so in an email afterwards. That is the best thing in my book. I always want my guests to feel happy and relaxed when they're being interviewed. Anything that's been mentioned on this podcast, you can check out the links down below. You can find Narragonia's website, their Facebook page, their YouTube channel. They've got many tune books. They've got a brand new one coming out. All of their albums, you can go and buy their stuff from the website. You can sign up to my Patreon via the link downstairs and find Pascal's and anyone else's tutorials. Next month, I am joined by the wonderful Toon van Mierlo, as I said so already. So he is going to be joining me for a podcast interview, but also a Patreon melanar, where he will be giving a small tutorial for about an hour on how to write tunes. And there will be a practical demonstration that you can join in with on any instrument. And it will be about how to come up with ideas and create variations. And that can be obviously things that you compose and write yourself, or variations within traditional tunes or tunes that other people have written. So it's really a creative workshop for you to learn the tricks of the trade of how to get inside a tune and make it your own. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really good exercise in how to make music your own. And Toon is very, very adept at teaching that kind of stuff, which is exactly why I've asked him to come on to do that. If that sounds interesting to you, you can join me live via Zoom on Tuesday, the 21st of May at 7 p.m. UK time, with Toon. He's going to be here with his DG accordion, but you can come with whatever instrument you play, and we're going to be going through loads of cool stuff with him. So check out my Patreon. You can sign up. The Zoom link gets posted there. It's all self-explanatory from there. I'd love to hear from you guys. How is this Chatterbox podcast coming across? Are you enjoying it? There are extended episodes available on my Patreon as well. So if you really want more gossip and stuff, then you can sign up to hear the extra extended episodes. Come and chat to me. Find me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, Mel Biggs Music. I'm also on YouTube. I have my website, melbiggsmusic.co.uk. I also have the email chatterbox@melbiggsmusic.co.uk. Everything is in the description, so do check that out. Don't forget to rate us if you're listening on Apple, if you're listening on Spotify. Great big thumbs up on YouTube, and a share, a subscribe. Do all the good stuff, guys, to support this podcast. A big massive thanks to everyone who's already done that, and thank you so much for subscribing to my Patreon if you've already done that. I will see you again next month. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.